Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
And we're the girlfriends, aren't we?
Yes.
And I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie. Yeah, and you can go to our site, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, or our new site, ConsciousCommunity.com, where we have new challenges coming up every day. We call them our Conscious Community Challenges.
Yay. 21-day challenges.
Yes. Because sometimes if you just focus on one thing that's kind of like, I love this to change in my life. For 21 days, you have this breakthrough. You mm-hmm. build momentum. And the way we create these programs is designed to just do one little action step a day, one little thought a day, and to move you forward in 21 days. So we love to hear how you're doing on those 21 days.
Our tagline is 21 days to a better you.
Yay!
Not to a new you.
No.
Not to an excellent you.
You don't need to be new.
Not to a perfect you.
No.
Just, you know what?
A better you. So we got a great show, girlfriend.
Do we really?
Yes,
I always like that when you tell me how great our show is going to be. We're mother and daughter, by the way.
Yes, we are.
I'm the mom.
We're both coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a teacher. I'm getting my master's. And by the time you hear this, who knows? I might already have my master's in instructional design. And I'm loving it. You're loving. We're trying to love life more during these the energy on the planet feels crazy sometimes.
Chaotic, crazy, like, what's going on?
Exactly.
And, like, you know what I want? I want someone to write a book to explain millennials to me. I just feel like I don't know them. Well, and I want to know them. I watched that, was it The Great Outdoors or whatever? And it really is a show about millennials, you know?
It is, and I know a couple millennials, and I probably know more than just a couple of millennials, but I know. Anyway, it's funny because when you said millennials, I thought you were going to say Melania.
Oh.
Melania. But millennials.
I just don't understand Melania. Yeah.
But millennials, the couple that I really know really well, they don't act the way they're portrayed per se. Mm-hmm. So the portrayed way, I think, is really the stereotypical, but I don't get them either. I don't get the fact that they don't want to drive.
Well, like Enterprise, Enterprise Car Rental. What was I watching? But, oh, I know, it was the People's Choice Awards.
Yeah.
And they were sponsored by Enterprise. And they were priding themselves on some of their new stuff, like really designed for millennials. And one was car sharing.
Yes.
And renting cars by the hour. And you know, and I'm like, well, who would do that? And guess what? Millennials do.
Yes.
And they don't like to drive. They don't like to own cars. I don't know why, you know, but
and I think money is becoming different to them in a lot of ways.
They would rather have this one guy said, yeah, my bar turned millennial. And the guy goes, well, what did you do? He goes, well, I had to raise the price of beer like $5 because they don't understand a dollar beer.
Like, well, a dollar beer? Who does that?
What horrible thing could that be? Yeah. But they understand $5 beers.
Yeah, that must be, locally made.
Finally.
Craft beer.
Yeah.
Oh, I can really taste the pumpkin in this. I'm adoring this. And I bet it's organically grown.
And the caramel color is amazing.
And I bet it's organically grown on someone's rooftop. Awesome. And I think that's how it is. And it's, I kind of digging their lifestyle a little bit, the least the ones I'm seeing.
Right.
But it's still,
it's an Uber lifestyle.
I think it's a lifestyle style of extremes, trying to live in the extremes of the world. Mm-hmm. Because they must see themselves kind of struggling, you know, and then they'll see some people hitting it hugely big. I mean, when we were growing up, the best way to have a sound life would be going into medicine. And now the best way to have a sound life is to go into tech, create an app, sell your app,
get a startup,
get all the money for the startup, and then do something.
Sell it,
you know.
Get another startup.
Yeah, because it's just a crazy...
Money is crazy,
and yet there's this extreme because you see people living in their basements.
Right.
And you see people living in tiny homes because they can't afford. So it's like the top part is pushing the extreme so high that the bottom and the middle are just not like, I don't even know where to go.
Yeah.
There's no ladders now. Either you're here or you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked about what we're going to talk about today on the show, which
you're going to surprise me.
I am. We're going to do a little bit of Elliot's Corner later on after we kind of, I don't know, dissect our week and have some fun. And like I say, we like to pull out the nuggets of the week and what we've learned.
And I always say, as you say, pulling out the nuggets, yeah. I always go, ouch!
Oh, exactly. Oh. I've got a cute little Elliot story I want to share. It's kind of embarrassing for me, mm-hmm. not for him. And for all I know, he could have been embarrassed. I don't know how. He looked kind of sheepish.
We were embarrassed to actually take him in to be groomed.
Yes.
Because we had let him go. And they went, okay.
And I just said, do your best. Or do your worst. I don't care. Move him forward.
He just needs help.
He needs help.
And he looked like a giant mop.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to use him for my floor.
Yeah.
And then
and he's gained a little weight.
Yeah, well, winter weight, we're going to call it.
Winter weight, winter fur.
Yeah, he hasn't recovered from his holiday binge.
He's got
yet.
The holiday pounds on him yeah. still.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about, in our coaching practice section called... Mm-hmm.
Pillar Talk.
We're going to talk a little bit about failing and the benefits of failing. And
that
heard
so exciting.
Heard, yeah, it does. But we heard a conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
And I'll tell you what, that German-Austrian accent is not easy to do.
It's not easy.
I want to mimic
him.
It's
not sexy either. I was, right before I was listening to Arnold, mm-hmm. I was listening to WGN, and they had a guy on from Ireland who was there. They're going to do an Irish coffee,
yeah.
the largest Irish coffee in the world they're going to make on Wednesday in Chicago.
Oh.
It's going to be 165 pounds of... coffee and liqueur and cream.
Nice.
And, yeah.
That's going to be very yeah. big.
But the guy talk, I can't do it, but he had an Irish accent, and I'm like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
I love me some Irish accent.
I do like an Irish accent.
It's like a bad boy.
Yeah, well, there's like a couple different kinds. You know, there's the Irish accent that you think leprechaun. And then you think...
like, Lucky Charms are magically delicious.
Exactly. And you're like, oh, you're so cute. I want to put you in my pocket and pet you. You're my Lucky Charm. And then there's the Irish accent that you think of, like, Colin... Is it Colin Firth? No.
I don't know.
Colin... I can't think of his name. But he's like a bad boy Irishman.
Yeah, Gerard Butler?
Gerard. Is he Irish or Scottish?
Oh, I don't know.
But, you know, but you go, oh, he's the bad boy.
It's the bad boy. You know. Yeah.
It's
the melting bad boy accent.
You know, and probably got his ass kicked a few times, kicked a few asses in there his time, and you're just like, oh, I like that bad boy.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like when you hear an English accent, a British accent, you know that there's a Mary Poppins before and after. No, not Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
You know.
Just a spoonful of sugar.
My Fair Lady. Oh. My Fair Lady before and after.
Right.
You know, and so you go that kind of accent.
Ow! Ow! All I want is a room somewhere. Ow! Ow!
And then what does he make, the professor make her say?
The rain in Spain. Stays mainly in the plain.
Yes, we're doing movie references from way back when. I love it. So, yeah,
we're not old, are we?
No, for sure. I know. The other day I was reading something they said the 80s, and it felt like, oh my gosh, the millennials weren't even born then or something like that.
Right,
it's like, what? You know what? Can't believe that. I don't even know what the age
is. But I'm telling you, people out there that are listening, write a book about millennials. And I will buy it. I'll buy 10.
Because you want to know everything about millennials.
I find them fascinating.
Yeah.
I can't even... See, I as a psychotherapist, I kind of pride myself on being able to get into the mind of people.
Right.
And I usually can. But when it comes to millennials, it does hurt as much as those nuggets that you pull out. And as much as I can't understand... The millennials, I can't understand, why their feelings get, they're so, you know, like, you got to give them all a trophy.
Right.
Just for trying, for participating.
And everybody's opinion matters so much. They're always so right.
Yeah, and the idea that social media is so important.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing I don't understand. It's like, they can't wait to get on their phone.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't wait to lose my phone.
Right.
I don't understand it.
I know, and yet I want to embrace social media because I guess it could be a benefit. But right now, I'm about ready to throw my phone out because in the middle of the night, I'm tired of, you know, people on Facebook saying, I'm live, bing, and I'm just like, wait a minute, I thought I turned this off. I'm happy that you're live right now on Facebook. Yeah. And a couple times I checked in because it was new and exciting. Yeah. And then I'll realize one person checked in. And he was this older guy. I don't know how he's my friend, but we're friends. And he was this older guy with a beard. And it wouldn't be funny if he was like 25, but just had a gray beard and gray hair. Because mm-hmm. you can't tell when you have a big hair, you know, Santa Claus. I have no idea how old you are. But, and he was just really upset because people were dissing him because he likes Trump. And they were giving, or the last time he went live, people were giving him sad faces and something like that.
And now he's live and just upset.
And now he's live and angry. And his tagline was, I'm live and I'm pissed off. And I'm like, oh
well, we must see that.
I go,
then.
Whoa, I wonder what he's pissed off about. And I thought it might be kind of funny.
Right.
Oh, no, he was legitimately, or not legitimately, he was lividly pissed off at everybody and his friends. And I'm thinking, dude, just defriend people.
Just put your phone away.
Put your phone away. And yet, it must be a great place. Like for me, sometimes I just want the noise to be quiet in my brain.
Yeah.
And maybe for other people, it's too quiet and their brain gets too loud and they need to go to social media to quiet their brain off. I don't know.
I really don't know. That's why I'm saying people write that book for me.
Right. And then, but he wasn't a millennial. I mean, I don't believe he was a millennial.
Because he had a beard.
Well, no, that's not true because we know that beards...
Millennials have beards.
Men have beards and...
And man buns.
And man buns and tight jeans.
Yes.
And skinny jeans.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm just like...
Whoa. Are we stereotyping?
Yes, 100%. And that's okay. I think... I don't know. But I love the millennials. I know I adore them. I love them.
You know, you're talking about... we were talking about the... The millennials and I know the People's Choice Awards were on this week,
right?
And it was like again the millennials because they were obviously the ones that were voting.
Mm-hmm.
They are the people,
right?
They're the ones that are voting. They're the ones that care because right. like people from my generation, if we don't have a jitterbug phone, we're not doing anything. You know, I don't really know how to say that.
Yeah, well, it's funny because.
We're not voting.
The reason
phones.
Why, yeah, that's how you know it's a millennial thing because you're like, I've been on Facebook. I didn't know there was voting going on. The People's Choice Awards. So,
what was interesting though, it was for the best female actress award in a movie, you know, and it was Meryl Streep, right, for Florence,
whatever that singing movie is about.
Jenkins, yeah. And Julia Roberts and Emily Blunt and then Blake Lively for The Shallows, you know. And it was interesting because the People's Choice Awards, they must kind of know in advance because as they're scanning the audience, I didn't see Julia Roberts. I didn't see Meryl Streep. I did happen to catch me a Blake Lively.
Yeah.
You know? And then for the best dramatic actress in a movie, Blake Lively, yay! And I'm just like shaking my head, like best dramatic actress. Now I did enjoy The Shallows.
Yeah, okay.
It was only 87 minutes, Woo! 86 minutes, right? And you know, and she's in a bikini the whole time,
right?
And the shark was cool, and I loved the little bird. You know, so it was.
The shark was cool and the little bird. Now I have to see this movie.
Now you got to see the movie.
Yeah, because now I'm like, awesome.
So she runs up on the stage and, in you know, in all her youthfulness, you know, and the audience is going crazy and they must be all millennials. And she's like, this was a movie to show you young women that you can do anything you want. You are empowered. You are powerful. You can do this. And then I realized, she knows her audience.
Yeah.
She knows who voted for her.
Yeah.
You know? And like Johnny Depp got best, not actor, or just best personality or something.
Oh.
So I imagine that it was all the young people cheering for him, and he went up on stage and said, thank you for you people.
Yeah.
It was the people's choice, so for being with me through thick and thin. And And every time I see his commercial,
Dakar,
Sauvage.
Oh yeah, Sauvage.
And he's in that car, right. And he's got a tear, and he goes out to the desert, and
he has to avoid a bison.
Yeah, that big bison in the road. But then he pulls over and takes his shovel and he starts digging, and then the screen pulls back and it says Sauvage, Sauvage.
Yeah,
you know. And see, I always picture. I just take that commercial.
Yeah.
And I see a guy in skinny jeans, uh-huh, and a man bun and a beard doing that same commercial, and the camera pulls back and it says Sauvage. Sausage.
Because I'm stuffed in these pants like a sausage.
That's exactly right.
I've seen this commercial many times. This commercial's a couple years old. And I think to myself, who greenlighted this commercial?
Yeah.
And then I go, I am definitely not the...
You are not the market.
The market, for sure. But there is the biggest part of the commercial I cannot stand. Do you know what part of that commercial I cannot stand?
The bison?
No, I think that's artistic.
When he cries.
I can live with that.
Okay.
I think it's when he takes his shovel, yeah, and he like shovels sand.
Yeah.
And the way he's doing it is that all the sand
is just blowing
everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you wouldn't do that in real life. I can buy the fact you might be a bison in the middle of the road. I can buy the fact that you are so overly dramatic and you have to go, I don't know, bury this, whatever this thing is, or find it, I don't know, just, yeah, off the beaten path,
right,
in the sand. But who shovels sand like that so it blows all over your face and gets in your eye? That's ridiculous.
I know who does. A millennial.
Johnny Depp. Because everything is done by a millennial just to get the best selfie.
Yes.
You're like, if I did this, I how does that picture look on my iPhone? And maybe my iPhone shot will get on TV and I'll get a million
hits.
Then
I get a million hits.
And I'll make $5.
$0.05.
And that $5 will make me buy me that draft, that that great draft beer I'm looking for, that craft beer.
That's right, craft beer.
I really don't know. But it was interesting because we were watching, together we watched this. Mm-hmm. Oh, surprise. House Hunters. And they were showcasing a millennial couple. Or was it Love It or List It Too?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The husband, they had this nice house and they had $1 million to spend on a new house. And the house, it must have been Love It or List It. And the house was a nice neighborhood, must have been in like Washington area, because it was a normal looking,
right,
bi-level or, you know, right, Ray's Ranch.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking
and
about now.
The husband, they have two young kids, husband and wife. The husband works 10 to 12 hours a day on his...
Oh, yes.
And he makes money playing video games 10 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah. No, 12 to 14 hours a day.
Oh, excuse me. 12 to 14 hours.
Yes.
And he's videotaping himself 12 hours a day or 14 hours a day.
And they have $1.2 million to spend,
yes,
on a new house.
And
or
his
200,000.
Wife does the social media aspect of the marketing for it.
She's the marketer. And this is their life.
Yes.
He spends 12 to 14 hours a day being videotaped playing video games.
And supposedly the neighbors are upset because he plays video games very animated.
Right. Very loud.
Very loud, and to get, you know, the audience that he's doing it or whatever. And the first thing you said to me, well, how does he make money at this?
Right. How does this make money?
And I said,
anyway,
possibly
I understand,
by membership site, maybe $20 a month, maybe, and he has 1,000 members, that's $20,000 a month.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know what the rate of
yeah, I don't either.
When they drop off, and you know, I don't
attrition.
Know how to, attrition, thank you. And so I know the wife does the marketing for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's marketing 10 or 12 hours a day, but she's got two young kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know the end result.
And what
was.
Does marketing mean? In the old days, marketing was a big deal. Now it's like you just do a SEO. You know, you take the right words for the day and you put them into search engine optimization, and
right,
boom, done. Or you post a thing on Facebook, or
right,
an Instagram picture.
Right.
I mean, I don't really know, but it's that kind of stuff doesn't seem like marketing to me, and yet I know
it is,
and it's very serious. But I was like gobsmacked.
Yeah.
I was like,
$1.2 million? What?
You can afford that.
And if you can afford
in your
that,
home,
you
in
live,
your basement.
Yeah. You should come about where we live, because you could buy a lot for $1.2
million. Yeah.
You could buy a mansion for about $300,000.
Yeah, why are you doing, if you can work out of your home, why are you living there?
And there must be a reason, because everybody else is doing that money. I believe that sometimes these pockets of same like minds get together, and then organically things explode for everybody.
Yeah,
it's like, well, yeah, here's what you do. Let's pull you along. You know,
yeah,
I'm gonna pull you along on this, and so forth. And so that's one millennial. Now I know a millennial who loves to play video games 12 hours a day.
Yes, Joey,
and he's making nothing on that.
Right,
and I have mentioned to him, I go, you know, I'm hearing that there are people making money playing video games all day long. You should get into that.
He goes, oh, yeah, I know there are.
I go, just,
it's just not for
it's
me.
It's just too hard. Not it's for me.
I just enjoy playing the game.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just throwing you some bones. And really, I don't know how they make money. I don't know if through advertising or clicks or whatever. You know, and, you know, who knows?
And Quinn is a millennial, and she's Doug's daughter, and she kind of just fell into this nice job,
yeah,
at this law firm in Chicago,
yeah,
and she's already gotten several raises, and excuse me, she's going to Delaware
for a case, and I just thank God, and I love the fact that she said yes to this job, because we were all concerned that if something didn't happen quickly,
that it's still going to be Bed Bath and Beyond for her.
Which would have been fine, except that she had student loans for a doctor, you
right,
know?
Right.
And now she has, you know, student loans for, you know, appropriateness and, you know, and maybe I see where her cousin, where people who are making, have been there for a couple of years are making, she knows that a little bit. And I'm like, mm-hmm, okay, you know, if she can just withstand the fact that this is not a quote-unquote sexy job, it's not the job of her dreams, which is, mm-hmm, you know, fighting the bad guys. She kind of is a bad guy. These lawyers are hired by the corporations,
right,
to protect,
right,
their assets, and
right,
and that's why she can get the raises and get the vacation. And she got, I mean, she
free
was there,
tickets all the way of every place.
I mean, it was so cute because she was literally there for like 8 weeks, and she got a Christmas bonus.
Yeah.
And Doug and I looked at each other like,
Wait, what?
We're stupid. To be on our own, what's going on? And, you know, I know that there's ups and downs to everything, but when you see, like, the match, I go, okay, great, you know? And I try and put, like, words in her, like, yeah, I go, you know, or like Joey was talking, I like, you know, maybe you could stay home and raise kids, you know?
That's too much for me.
Yeah, I can do that. I can definitely do that. Yeah. The kids can just hang. Why play video games now?
Right.
He's really a doll. He's a Joey, and as the word says it, he's, you know, and he's going back to school, becoming nurse's aide, which I like. That's good. He'll be happy. Hopefully,
we'll see.
What's happiness anyway?
I'll tell you who's happy. I was watching if anybody out there has never seen The Wall, this is a great game show. It is an hour long, but it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unlike any other game show. And I just have to say that this one, and they usually do couples.
Right.
And so last week it was a couple, and
now the couple on for a whole hour?
Yeah, the couple's on, man and wife. And they have a little boy with special needs. And the mom is a manager of like a McDonald's or something. And because he has special needs, that's very interesting to her. And she now hires special needs children or, you know, mm-hmm, young adults to work at her place and, you know, give these people, you know, a nice job with benefits and things like that. So it was just like a couple that you wanted them to win, you know?
Right.
And she was playing The Wall. The husband goes in the back, and he's like in a room that's all, can't hear anything, and he's just got to answer questions. And during the hour, she goes up and she goes down, and finally, like with like three balls good to go, she has no money. She's lost all
right,
her money. And then she lands on $1,500,000. And the question that he has to answer is a picture of two little boys, two little brothers. And now all he gets are the answers, which is Charlie, Billy, Scott, and Donald.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't know what the question is, but
right,
she has to bet whether he'll be able to answer it or not. And so she has no idea. And so she bets the $1.5 million or whatever. And the question is, in this highly watched video, YouTube video. What does, who's the, what's the little brother's name? Mm-hmm. And this was like, I guess must have been 6 or 7 years ago, maybe. And I remember this because it was really funny. It was this little boy's got his little brother, and his little brother puts his finger in the little boy's mouth and bites it. And the little boy goes, "Charlie, don't bite my finger." And so she hears her husband, and he tells this story that the first time he saw this video, he was in the hospital with their little baby, special needs baby, and he was having heart surgery, and he was all hooked up to all these tubes and lines and stuff, and he said that he was just sitting there and he happened to see this little thing on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it was like so sweet and funny that he, for that moment, he'd forgotten his troubles and saw this video and said, "You know, Charlie, don't bite my finger." So he knew the answer to this question, and everybody was just like, you know, shocked. Yeah. And the wife was like going, "You know the answer to this question?" You know, she's like, so he says, "Charlie," and then he comes down on stage, and he has a choice at this. I know you've got to see the game. If he signs the document, he gets like a minimum amount of money, which would have been in this case about $85,000. And if he tears up the document, he gets the money that she has accumulated. Right. And nobody knows until the end what he's done. So he comes out, and he said, "Honey, blah blah blah, I tore up the document," meaning I'm ready to hear. You either have nothing for us, right, or a dollar or whatever. And she goes, $1.5 million, you know. And he was like, he almost passed out, you know. And it was so nice to see this couple. This, like, you know, you go, "Oh, you're deserving. You want them to win." And to hear that he remembered this kind of arcane video from 6 or 7 years ago for that reason.
Isn't that awesome?
And knew the answer to that. It was just like, well, some things are just, you know,
I saw that episode, and what I loved about it, I felt like God intervened in this.
Yeah, I did too.
Because she was in such dire straits the whole time that it made her bet appropriately.
Right.
I had to, and meaning this, because she had always been at zero, she'd get up a little bit, lose a little bit.
Yes.
She had to take chances because she's like, "I have nothing to lose." And because there's one part, the way the show goes is that, you know, you don't know the question, but you have to bet. You can bet that if your spouse knows the question, you'll get 3 balls to come down. Yeah, you can triple down.
And I know, and we're describing it kind of weird, but it's a very tense
right
show.
And if you do, I think he won't know it. So, you know, anyway, the spouse doesn't know the question. So here she is, and she, because she doesn't know the question, she doesn't know if he can answer it or not. And because literally she has zero to gamble with, I mean, she has no money left, the best bet for her to make was to say, "I'm going to gamble all 3 balls. Because if he gets the question wrong, and these balls drop, she can lose more money. Mm-hmm. But if he gets the question right, he has 3 opportunities for these balls to drop and to land in money baskets and so forth. So it really is an odds thing. And I felt like the only question he was sure about was the last question.
It was.
And the only thing that she was sure about is at this point, she had 0 money to lose.
Exactly.
So it was easy for her to say, "You know what? I got to bet the farm because I can win $100 here. Big deal."
Right, right.
And because she said yes, those 3 optional balls, which could have gone against her or for her, went for her.
Right.
And I told mom later, I go, everything during this competition was in her favor to win over $1 million.
And you wouldn't have guessed that, but it was really true in retrospect.
Because there's a point when you go, "I just want a clear path.
Right.
I want to know what to do with it. I want to know a clear path." She had a clear path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because he thought he could have walked away about $100,000, and he could have,
mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. But that $100,000 could be life-changing. Mm-hmm. But if you could win $1 million, that's even more life-changing. So I understand the internal conflict these couples are going for.
Yeah.
And I saw one couple. I've only seen one couple keep the contract going. And it was the wife who was above making decision, like, do I answer the questions appropriately? Mm-hmm. And do I sign the contract, meaning I will keep the initial money that we won, which could be like $8,000 or
$100,000. It's usually under $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually under $100,000. Or do I tear it up and go for what we could have won? Mm-hmm. And, you know, by her signing it, because she knew she was guaranteed like $60,000 or $100,000 or whatever it was, they lost $600,000.
Right.
And but she was not a risk taker at all.
No.
And they knew that going in, her and her husband did. And I also thought she wasn't a very good question answer.
No, and I thought, was surprised.
Why? It requires no skill. And so to go up there. And so I thought that was interesting, you know. And I saw one couple who I thought played it horribly wrong. And they ended up leaving with nothing.
I saw that episode.
And
it was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking and not heartbreaking.
But not because you know what? You deserved it.
You totally played it wrong.
Yeah, it was the guy that did it. He was just like going for broke.
Yeah. And there was a point where I'm going, you have like $2 million to your name right now. And this is the last question.
And you're
going to
bet the farm?
You're going to bet three balls that she can answer this question correctly. Triple down.
Mm-hmm.
And she got it wrong, of course.
Yeah, because she had gotten all the questions wrong.
And she goes, I don't want to go back to work where people go, you should have bet more on it. And, you know, I'm like, then your work's stupid. And then to find out that he was in the Army, and I'm getting saying, okay, you guys take way too many chances. Was he in the Air Force?
He was in the Air Force, and he was a pilot.
Yes.
And I had a hard time feeling sorry because I felt like, they'll make that money up.
They'll be
fine. Younger.
I did initially before I realized he was in the armed services. The way he was talking about it, like, I can't go back to work, not have gone all the way. And I'm like, what kind of job are you going to get sassed at for not being smart? You know, I mean, obviously you're not supposed to bet all three balls here, you know, I mean. And he did anyway. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah. So then I felt really weird, like, oh, my gosh, these guys are really big risk takers up there. Or maybe that's the kind of mentality you have to be to fly fighter planes going, you know, really
fast.
You got to
have a, like, high dose of testosterone.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of testosterone, though, we were listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger being interviewed by, well, it was a Tim Ferriss interview, but actually it was Tim Ferriss's, I don't know, lackey or something.
No, so what happens is...
You tell me.
Okay, so Tim Ferriss, usually on the Tim Ferriss Show or whatever it's called.
The Tim Ferriss Podcast Experience.
Yes. Once in a while, he has a short podcast where he gives the people, like just basically record these on your own, questions that his audience has proposed. And they vote on the, you know, they vote up which ones are important questions to ask and so forth. So, and I don't think it was Tim Ferriss's latchkey that was giving the questions to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger's, you know, assistant or something like that. Because I've heard these podcasts before, and it's usually just the guy reading off questions on a microphone or on the phone or whatever, all by themselves. And it was quite fascinating.
I found it fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what I liked about it, and I was going to talk about this during Pillar Talk.
But oh, maybe we should. We can
just do that right now. We'll move
Pillar Talk. Are you sure?
Yeah. Or unless we can talk about Elliot's Corner first, if you want to do that.
We could. We could talk about my joke about, you know, the new president.
Okay. Well, yeah. Should I set you up for this?
Yeah. Here's my joke.
So go ahead, just tell a joke.
Okay, people, so we got a new president, but let me ask you this question. Was Barack Obama black?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so then orange is the new black. Yay, that's my joke. Come on.
It's so scary.
Right? It's good.
It is good. Ba-dum-pum, mic drop. Yeah, I wish we could have set it up differently. And
I did not set it up good.
It was perfect. I, you know, what I like about it is that when people realize a joke is coming,
yeah,
their ears open up a little bit
wider.
Oh, I've
got to hear this joke.
And then like, oh.
Because people have been wondering for years, how am I going to work Orange is the New Black into a joke?
Yeah, and you just did.
Just did it. Mic drop. Yeah. Boom.
And do you, I mean, what came first? I mean, was
Orange
that...
Orange the Black.
did Orange the New Black, was that prophecy for upcoming events?
It was prophetic.
It was prophetic. Yes. And so then...
And Lena Dunham is no longer an American citizen. She's now Canadian.
Is she really? No.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger loves to say apple strudel.
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 So you ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Yes.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome here to we are Corner. At Elliot's Corner. Okay.
Who's Elliot?
Elliot is our Wheaton Terrier, a little over two and a half years old, a little less.
A little less than two. He's a puppy.
A little more than two, a little less than two and a half.
Yes. Yes.
And he's had an ear infection for the last, quite a while. Yeah. We've gone through treatments and stuff like that. And he hasn't been able to get groomed because of this.
Right.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We just haven't groomed him.
But the vet said no grooming during the medicine time.
And so this is kind of a funny story because I'm taking him to get groomed. And we love where he goes. I love this couple. I mean, picture this. They probably picture this, everyone.
Yes.
His groomer is literally an 85-year-old woman who looks...
85.
I mean, I could look 85 if she had gray hair.
But it's so interesting because it's one big place, and they're on the other side is her best friend who's 85, and she has the training area. She's a trainer.
So they've got 4,000 square feet of buildings.
Yeah.
And they got, so it's like a duplex.
Right.
You got 1,000 square feet on the main floor. There's no basements. It's not built on a slab.
Right.
You walk in and you've got their business of grooming. And then above is where they have their apartment.
Yeah.
And it's probably 1,000 square feet. Yeah. And then on the other side, you've got the exact same setup.
Not a space.
1,000 square feet of training.
Yeah.
And
big
above
space
it,
inside.
Another basement or another apartment above it.
Right.
And in between, because they're not exactly a straight line, they're kind of at a very wide V. And the owner.
And they have really nice, they got great property.
Oh.
It's up on a hill and.
Right across from the river. I mean, it's beautiful property.
It's great property. And they've been there forever.
5 or 10 acres.
Yes. They probably have 10 acres.
Yeah. Right? Been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And in between is they said they have a spiral staircase and you can get into any part. Like, you know, it's where everybody can connect and all that stuff.
Right.
So it's two separate places, but
and these
together.
People are longtime friends. Like,
yes.
Mildred and Terry they are not married.
No, they're just partners.
But they're just partners. They have significant others. And then Patricia and Cheyenne are married.
Yes.
And they have a child, Buttercup.
Yes.
Who's probably 60.
Yeah.
Buttercup 60. But okay, just to let you know, just by those names, I hope you get the idea.
These are wild people.
And we love them.
Oh my gosh, and they're so they are magical with the dog hair.
Yes.
They are magical. And she breeds and shows puppy or poodles and
no, she doesn't breed poodles. She breeds poodlas, because on their van they have, we breed capital P, small o, capital D, small L, small E, small S. So it's poodlas. We breed poodlas. I'm sorry. Orange is the New Black.
Yes. So they breed poodlas, and. And so they do a great job. I mean, they're really, I see ribbons everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
We love them. And they're just like really just, I mean, they're just like folksy people.
Oh,
you
they're
can
great.
Just go
and
in.
And when they're in their 80s.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
her
you go
husband.
And you talk to them.
Right. My groomer, she's in her 80s because I know one, but I don't think her partner is. I think her partner is 30 years younger.
I think your partner is at least 30 years younger.
You know?
Yeah.
But
she's a cougar.
Yeah. And they just all are wild.
Just wild.
I'd be surprised if they're not growing something in the backyard, you know? I mean, I have no evidence of this, so don't take this as evidence. I just have no idea. But what was so funny is that I get there and I can see it's pitch black out because it's 5 o'clock in January or 5:30 and it's pitch black out. And Ellie's on the table and both Terry and Mildred are working on him and with the scissors. And And I'm just sitting there and I'm listening to my guilty pleasure of Dan Savage.
Dan Savage.
The Savage.
The Savage Experience.
Yeah.
The Savage Love.
Love. What the? Love Cast. That's it. Mm-hmm. The Savage Love Cast. And I can't tell people why I love this podcast, though, because it's so not me. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I love it. Mm-hmm. First of all, I could tell people how to solve their problems in a heartbeat. Like, knock it off. Don't do this.
Don't do that.
Did your mother not tell you this is not appropriate behavior?
And they were talking about judging. Golden showers this week.
Talking about golden showers.
Only because, well, we won't say, but it's a high topic. It's trending.
It's trending right now. And to find out, we found out that urine really isn't...
free of bacteria?
Yes. It does have, it's not, on the spectrum, it's not like horrible.
Could you call it drinkable?
I mean, if you were desperate for liquid, you could drink it.
Okay.
But from what I understand, it's like, if you could catch the urine inside of you, it may not have bacteria. But once it leaves your body, it just kind of rubs against your skin, and skin has bacteria, and there you go. You know?
Whoa.
But I don't know if that's true either. But that's how come I know, like, milk is not sanitary, because...
It comes, if you could drink it inside the cow, no problemo. But once it comes out from the nipple, dig, that's brutal.
Something like that.
Just use the back. Just have the bacteria. Those cows are like, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Please leave me alone. And so, so, you know, and so anyway.
You're walking out with Elliot and Mildred and Terry.
No, so what happens is I'm just sitting there waiting, and I see that they're getting done. I'm like, oh, great. So I open the van door, and I go out to meet, go out there quickly to give him the check and then grab Elliot. And then all of a sudden I realize he's coming all the way, the van, and Mildred's falling out, which is no problem. But I forget I have this podcast on, which can be a little raunchy.
Blaring.
Blaring, and... And then I'm talking to them, and I'm getting Elliot in, and all of a sudden, I hear in the background, fuck and cock. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, and I realize I got to turn this podcast off fast, because I don't know what's being played on this radio. And I was like,
sure Mildred and Terry have.
Well, I'm just thinking that they're not totally.
Yeah.
This is not totally foreign to them.
It's not foreign to them.
You know, but I still was slightly embarrassed. And I didn't want to... And how do you say something?
Yeah.
Do I say,
excuse me. This is... I don't know how that podcast got on there. Do not listen.
This is my mom's podcast.
Yeah, this is my mom's podcast.
She likes this stuff. Not me. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to erase it from my phone.
You're just checking it out for me to see if it's something I can hear or not.
Yeah. Well, she likes me to pre-screen her podcast. And I'm going to give this podcast a thumbs up. Because anything about urine jokes, she's into right now.
Exactly.
And so, but in my mind, I'm like literally... If you could see my brain, and it had pictures, part of my brain would be showing pictures of me laughing hysterically, barely able to breathe. And the other part of me would be like getting redder and redder and redder. And so, because I'm debating really quickly in my mind, do I even mention this? And I decided.
Oh, smart.
No.
Good.
You know.
I would say that they had, you know, that they might not have heard it because they're 85 and 65.
100%.
Right.
Because I have been witnessing things going on in my life now where I'm like, oh, wait a minute. There's a good chance they didn't hear this.
Right.
Where I think everybody hears things perfectly.
Because you have perfect ears and perfect eyes.
Yeah. That is not how the rest of the world does. Or sees things and hear things. So I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of misinterpretation going on. Which could work in our benefit if we all acknowledge it.
You know, you did say something that there weren't any good urine jokes out there. But I'm going to ask you this question. You're either out or are...
You're in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mic drop. Boom. Listen, it's only a good urine joke if I can come up with one more.
One more?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, sometimes you're either out of money or you're in the money.
And there's a song.
Yeah.
You're in the money.
That's why I said it.
I know.
Okay.
Although I think it's I'm in the money. No, it's not. It's you're in the money.
You're in the money. Why would I sing about you're in the money?
Yeah. No, I'm in the money.
Yeah. I think it's you're in the money. I don't know.
Stay tuned next week. We will tell you.
There's a huge controversy. But if you're in the money, boy, that money's yellow.
Yeah.
It's staining. Mm. Yeah.
So that's our puppy Elliot story.
Yes. But it was hysterical. And he looks cute as a button.
And they did a good job.
And I like to say, transition now into pillar talk. And here's our transition, because one of the reasons why I didn't say anything about the podcast, that the raunchiness that was going on in the podcast, was because and Elliot might be seeing a squirrel right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Squirrel. Yeah. Moose and squirrel.
Yeah.
So we're being joined by Elliot right now.
But he is, because we listened to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And one of the questions was about his Twitter war with Trump.
With Trump.
With President Trump, which is interesting, because I would think they wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, I would have thought they were actually pals.
Well, and he
only
does,
because he took over The Apprentice, and they kind of had that same, I don't know.
I literally thought they were maybe cut from the same cloth.
But yeah, you kind of, but no.
And that was pretty odd for me, because I have an opinion of Donald Trump, and I have an opinion of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and maybe they're both wrong, or just not so flat. But so listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger, he said, the first thing I do when I have to deal with a complaint or like, someone jabs me or whatever, I have to first hold myself back.
Right.
Because I want to respond quickly.
And I want to respond with emotions.
And that's not
what
you do.
Works. Yeah.
And of course, we're not, if we could speak with his dialect and his, it would sound much better, but I can't do it.
It's so great. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, I would have told him I wanted to kick his butt behind the, you know, whatever. And he goes, but I didn't.
Yeah, I let my emotions calm down.
Yes. And so.
And then I said, oh, I could do this.
Right.
And it was, he goes, then I decided, no, I don't want to do that.
No. So luckily I listened to Arnold, because, you know, he mentioned that, and try saying his name fast, by the way, 3 or 4 times. Do it. It is not appropriate. But, you know, he says, you gotta wait. You gotta make sure you know what you want to say. Take time. And so that was something I learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fascinating conversation.
It really was.
I liked how he was answering the questions. But what I realized is that success is not easy.
They asked him, somebody asked him about what he learned from his failures. We all know you're very successful in life, but what have you learned from your failures?
Right.
And he was very candid. He said, if you're going to be successful, you better plan on having a lot of failures. And he said, I can remember being back in Germany and at a tavern or a pub and trying to lift 500 pounds over my head and failing, and the weights falling on my chest and not even being able to pick them up and having people, you know, help me.
And, well, it's so funny, because you were trying to tell me this story about Arnold Schwarzenegger doing, you know, going out there to the pub, and you said, and he had to pick up 5,000 pounds for 200 people. Like, he was not picking up 5,000 pounds.
I just inverted the numbers, girlfriend.
I go, he was picking up 5,000 pounds? That's not good.
I said, yes, he was.
Because I go,
and
it can't be. And then you go, well, maybe it was 500 pounds for 2,000 people. I'm like, okay, I could buy that, but 5,000 pounds?
Right. but he talked about his failures, and that he, you know, that it drove them,
right.
drove him to eventually he was able to pick up the 500 pounds. And he said, I've made movies where, you know, they were highly successful, and then others where they were pretty much epic failures.
Yeah.
And he said, but I still learned during those movies. I still had connections with people. I practiced my skill set, you know, and of course his language.
Yes.
Yeah. He got rid of that accent really good.
I think that must be a very hard accent to get rid of.
I'm Austrian.
He said, I really, though, believe in practice. Practice,
yes.
practice until it becomes memory.
And he said there was a quote that he lived by, and it was German. It was, practice until you become a master.
Master.
I mean, I don't know.
So but, mom would say then, oh, so you're a master practicer. yeah. That's not what she said, was it?
I said he was a master debater. Exactly.
But what I liked about this conversation with...
Oh, let me remind me to tell you something about master debaters when this is over with.
No, I can't wait. Just tell me now.
Tell you now.
Yeah.
Well, Dad was telling me that he was listening to a radio show. I don't know, it was like PBS or something, but they were saying that the new research is showing that people at work are far more productive if they've masturbated. And so they're thinking about now... In a lot of these, you know, big office complexes and stuff, like having masturbation rooms, as a
okay, I
definitely that was wanted... a little far fetched.
No, I don't think it was on. I think it was on NPR. Was on NPR. Okay, now second of all, I know this. He also mentioned that in the work. This must have been a crazy workplace hour on NPR. Something about, and I didn't hear that about the masturbating before work.
No, not before work.
During work.
During work. Like instead of having like
a 15-minute break,
like a water cooler break, you just go into the masturbation room, and I was like, well, what does a masturbation room look like?
I did not want sloppy seconds for that one. I'm not going there second.
Like, how do you come out? Would you come out like
boom, boom?
Are you all happy or you know like
how does it come out?
You go like, don't go in there.
I'm sorry.
Don't go in there.
Or does it have like, does the janitor have a checklist in the back of the bathroom like he does in regular stalls?
Yeah, and is there a male and female masturbation room, or is it one gender?
You know, these are very fascinating questions, and I want to know, first off, who thought of this study, because I love this study.
And, you know, the government millennial? Paid $6 billion.
Those millennials.
What were you going to say about that NPR?
Well, no, I didn't know that. I can tell you why I didn't know that. I think Dad would have been really embarrassed to tell me that story. But he did tell me the story about how people are able to, where there's medical marijuana and marijuana legalized in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
People, the baby boomers are working longer because they have less pain.
Right.
And I thought, praise God. And I'm like, this is awesome. Now I think that we're going to have...
Praise God, there's medical marijuana.
Medical marijuana can legalize, baby Jesus. And you get to take your break and masturbate. Awesome.
I want a job. Give me a corporate job right now.
I'm thinking they're combining those two. So in some ways, it's the medical marijuana.
Forget the vending machine room.
No, it's not. I don't even know what to say. And maybe you could, maybe the tech people could finally figure out, maybe you wouldn't have to be naked even.
No.
Like you could just go into a place and maybe it's a stall and they attach like an electrodes to you or something.
And they're like milking cows.
And they go, and you push a button and then it's like, whoa. I go, done.
I got the picture. I can see that.
And then what happens is you press a button when you're done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever been to the airports where they have the toilet seats that have automatic covers come around.
Uh-huh.
So like when you sit up, the old cover goes out,
yeah,
and then the new cover comes in.
Oh.
And so it could be like that.
It could
so
be like
it could
an
be
airport.
All sanitized.
Yes.
But I don't know. That's effing crazy. But I think it's a new brave world.
Brave new world out there, girlfriend.
Yeah.
NPR.
NPR.
PBS is reporting it.
Narcotics, and this porn, is, relaxation. Yeah,
this is Cheryl Song talking about masturbation,
yes,
at work.
And marijuana.
And marijuana and how it benefits.
Workers. We're all about the work here, people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes. Mic drop.
Stay tuned. Yeah, mic. Ba-dum-ba. Mic drop.
NPR. Narcotics, porn, relaxation. That's what it stands for now.
And weed. Excuse me. Medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Can we just talk like this for a while?
Sure. Exactly. What? So, anyway, talking about the pillars of life and Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah, what I loved about him,
yes, Julie,
this idea that two things. He says, I get up earlier in the morning, I work hard, and, you know, the older I get, you know, when I was younger, I used to need more sleep. I don't need much sleep anymore.
He says, like, he needs but five and a half hours.
My bedroom really is for sleeping only. Right. Not for TV, not for any. And he does the things that we talked about in our book.
He does all the appropriate
sleep
things.
Sleep your way to the top
right.
of the morning.
Right.
you know, because he said for like 2 hours before bed, I turn off all my
social media,
my phones, anything. My tablets. Because if you engage in that stuff before bed, guess what?
Your brain mind keeps still...
Yeah. So he does everything appropriately, which I like. But I also like the idea that I think he was really truthful because someone read him or asked him a question saying, you know, I'm no longer a spring chicken. And how do I stay in shape? It's just so difficult. Mm-hmm. And he goes...
Yeah, he was truthful.
He was really truthful. He goes, listen, when I was bodybuilding and training and I was in my 20s, I could literally go eat a whole pie.
He said, we would go to House of Pies before a show.
Before a show.
And I would still win.
And exactly. And he goes, now, I'm lucky if I have soup for dinner.
Yeah.
He goes, and I never, he goes, I very rarely have sugar or sweets.
Yeah, and he goes, I love, I'm Austrian, I love me some apple strudel.
I love my apple strudel.
Apple strudel. And I just love the way he said strudel.
Yeah.
Can I keep saying that, strudel? Yeah. We were listening real quickly today, yesterday, on words that people say wrong in America. And I was surprised. Like, one of them was S-A-L-A-D. And the technical term for that we would say salad is salad.
Yes.
I was like shocked.
Salad.
Another one was jicama, J-I-C-A-M-A. And they were saying, no, it's not jicama. It's jicama.
Jicama.
Yeah. So you would order a salad with some jicama in it. And they were saying the drink, the Japanese drink, S-A-K-E.
Yeah.
Sake. I would say sake. It's sake.
Sake.
So you would say, I'd order a salad with some jicama and a side order of sake. And they were also saying that we pronounce maraschino wrong. It's
No, I would pronounce it maraschino.
Yeah, I pronounce it maraschino. You're and I'm right.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm right.
It's maraschino. So you have a salad with a jicama.
Side order of sake.
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 And with a maraschino cherry on top.
And most people say like mostaccioli.
Yeah.
And it's mostaccioli. Yeah. Mostaccioli.
Something like that, yes.
And mascarpone.
Mascarpone.
Most people want to say mascarpone, and we say mascarpone.
Yes.
And a lot of people say sherbet, and it's
sherbet.
Sherbet. Your bet. It's a sure bet.
And
it's
I say this, if you pronounce those words correctly, I'm going to say, I'm going to want to slap you. Who do you think you are? Pronouncing words correctly?
Can you imagine going to the restaurant in your first date? Yeah. I have a salad. Oh, extra jicama.
No wine, please. I'll take some sake.
And the jujitsu.
And you're like, what? And can I have a Sunday afterwards where a maraschino cherry on top? And you're like, who do you think you are?
Yeah, can I just beat you now?
Yeah, please. Like, all right, we're all wrong. You're right. And at some point, we just got to change it.
Yeah, you know? Remember that Jack Canfield line, I'd rather be wrong. I better be kind than right.
I don't think it was Jack Canfield.
No, it was Wayne Dyer.
Yeah. Because I know Jack Canfield, man. He's all about being
right. He's all about being right. No, Wayne Dyer, he would say, I'd rather be kind than right.
I'm sure Jack Canfield agrees.
I don't know. By the way, orange is the new black.
Yes. We want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast tonight. Our radio on BBS Radio here. We hope you enjoyed it. You can go to our website, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Go to our new site, ConsciousCommunity.com, and look up the challenges that are there. And take one.
Email us, too.
Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Have a great day, everyone.
And it was great.
It was great.